Well, it's good to be back with you all this evening. I'm thankful that Father Saunders let an old Midwest boy come in here and fly solo tonight. So thanks, Father Saunders. It's good to be with you all. I have a painting hanging in my office back in Indiana, and it's a small painting. It's called Mass in a Connemara Cabin. And you look at the painting, and it's very simple. It's a small cottage, a small cabin in Ireland, and on one side it's packed with the lay faithful. There's a whole group of people that are praying, and they're asking God for their petitions. They're kneeling down. And on the other side of the painting is a priest, a young priest. He's wearing a white vestment, and he's in the act of giving benediction at the end of Mass. The candles are glowing, there's shadows on the wall. But we look at the people's faces and we notice that there's something about them. Yes, they're reverent, they're in awe of the mystery that's happening before them. But there's also anxiety. This painting is not just a quaint image. This painting is representing the period of time during the English persecution of Catholics in England and Ireland. This is a secret mass. And you can imagine the people, they're listening for the cry of hounds or the patter of footsteps coming up in the lane, the authorities that may be coming to take them. It's a powerful image to us. During this time, the time of England's persecution of Catholics in both England and Ireland, yes, there were many priests and religious that were martyred, who gave their lives for the faith, but it was ultimately the laity, the lay faithful, like you, that kept the faith alive, that guarded the faith and kept it secret, kept it hidden, taught it to their families. St. Paul says to Timothy in his first letter to Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. My friends, tonight I want to speak about this in light of our Lord's gospel. What has been entrusted to us? The tradition of our faith and how we need to guard it. How you and I are called to guard our tradition and then to be bearers of the presence of Jesus in our world today. This parable that Jesus gives this evening is a sharp parable. It's intense. It's during a time when he is being sought after by the authorities of Jerusalem. And he gives this parable. He's driving a nail in the coffin of the Pharisees, a well-deserved nail. What's happening here? This parable of the vineyards, the tenants in the vineyard, is a recap of salvation history. What we've seen throughout the Old Testament and what is about to happen. The Father gives his law and his tradition to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And their leaders are the tenants, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the scribes. And they are entrusted with this great tradition, God's way of life, God's way of giving them his grace. They're entrusted with this great gift. But what happens? The Lord sends them prophets. The messengers that he sends at the beginning, he sends groups of prophets to them. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. He sends them prophets to tell them to turn away from their false worship of idols and to turn back to the true God. But these prophets, they beat, they stone, they kill. And then he sends his son. His only begotten Son, Jesus, the Messiah. He sends him to them, and what do they do? Well, we know what they do. Good Friday is about to happen. Jesus knows what they will do. But at the end of this gospel passage, Jesus says, the vineyard will be given to a new nation, a new people to guard it. This nation that he speaks of is nothing other than the new Israel, the people of God, the city of God, the church. That is you and me. The Lord gives this vineyard to us. The problem for us, though, this great mission that we've been given, the problem is that there's still a little of the wicked tenant in each of us, isn't there? There's still a little bit of that wicked tenant, the wicked guardian. Every time we sin, we say no to the Lord. And sure, we don't want to kill our Lord Jesus. We don't think that way. But we can push him aside. We can keep from recognizing him. And the more we buy into the way of the world and not the way of the vineyard, the way that God has given us, the more we fail to recognize Jesus walking in our midst. The more we fail to bear his presence. The question then for us, we have to ask ourselves is Jesus still interesting to me? Is he still interesting to me? Does he change the way that I get up in the morning? Does he change everything about every part of my day, every part of my life? It's the question we each have to ask ourselves, because we are in need of guardians. Guardians, tenants of this vineyard that we have been given. And that's the reality we find ourselves in today. We are in need of guardians. Our church is in need of true guardians. Recently, I watched the musical Fiddler on the Roof. I'm sure many have seen it. If you haven't seen it, the basic story is that it's the main character is Tevye, who's a Jewish man living in Russia during the late 19th century. He lives in a poor village. He's a poor man. And the story is about how he is trying to hang on to his tradition in a changing world. And he has to watch one by one as his daughters are wooed away by the modern culture, by the new ideas that are coming from the city, from the people. And he watches one by one as they walk away. Tevye, though, hangs on to his tradition. And at one point he says a beautiful line. He says, "Tradition reminds me of who God is and who I am. Reminds me of who God is and what he expects of us." That's what tradition does, the tradition that we have been given. Today, we find ourselves not just in an age of change, but truly in a change of the ages. A change of the ages. We're moving from a period of Christendom, a period of Christian culture. For the last 1,000 years or so, we've been in a Christian culture where most of the Western world has been influenced and pervaded by a Christian ethic, a Christian worldview. But today we find ourselves already in and definitely entering into a new age. What might we call this age? Well, we can call it the apostolic age. Because the closest thing we can find to our own time is the age of the apostles of Jesus. Think about it. These men, the 12 apostles, began with nothing. They had nothing of which to go off of. Their culture was hostile to them. And they went poor and in need before the Lord into this hostile world to proclaim the gospel, to guard what had been entrusted to them. In this apostolic age that we are entering into, we cannot make the same assumptions about people. Just because a person says that they are a Christian or that they believe in Jesus, they may not actually believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Just because our young couples come to us to be married doesn't mean that they understand that marriage is permanent, or that cohabitation is wrong, or that contraception is an inherent disorder. Just because people come to us for a funeral doesn't mean that they understand and believe in the resurrection of the body, our destiny to be with God forever. And during this time, the apostolic age that we're entering, we will either become more faithful or we will become more worldly and we will fall. That is the age we find ourselves in. But we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. Our role is to guard what has been entrusted to us, as St. Paul says to Timothy. It's not a cause for fear, but a time of opportunity. Think about the original 12 apostles. They went out poor, needy, with nothing, no institutions. But what they did have was the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ. And that's where you and I find ourselves. We may not have everything that the modern world has. We may not be able to be as eloquent or to be as flashy or attractive as the modern world is, but we have Jesus Christ, the answer to every human question, to every human need. As we go out to do this, as we go into this new age, we have to keep in mind two things. First is that we cannot compromise on the truth of Jesus, on the truth that He's given us. We have to keep in mind and bear close to our heart all that the Lord has revealed, both in sacred scripture and also in the tradition that He's given to His church through the apostles. All those beautiful things that we hold in our church, everything that we hold to be sacred, our liturgy, our music, our heritage. And the second thing we have to remember is that we have to be open to new ways, new movements of the Spirit in this new age. Because the Holy Spirit is going to raise up new apostles. You, me, myself. He's going to raise up new apostles in this new time. And we can't keep being stuck in the old ways of doing things. The Lord is working something new in us. And the point of all this is that the more I live in awe and wonder of Jesus and His church, the better guardian I will be, the better tenant of the vineyard I will be. At the end of Fiddler on the Roof, there's this moving scene, and Tevye, the main character, is carrying his little cart full of all of his worldly possessions, and he's leaving his village, and he's entering out into the unknown. He's carrying all of his belongings with him. And as I watch this, I call to mind the fact that this scene represents him bearing his precious cargo, his tradition, his beliefs, his truth with him, the truth of God, into an unknown and hostile world. And it's like us. It's like you and me. We're carrying with us the precious cargo, the precious gift that is Jesus Christ, that He has given to us, to each of us at baptism. And we carry it into a dark and unknown place. But we do not fear. We can still sing and dance because Christ is risen and we have seen His face.